Today on Real Radio.
So then they asked this question. Well, the first guy married her, he died. The second guy, he died. Third guy, and he died. Fourth guy died. Five, six, seven, died. What a question. These guys, I would have liked to have been Jesus at that moment and said, excuse me, it's obvious. Someone needs to check her cooking before they marry her.
You make me, break me. Change my life completely. Always my days, a feeling, give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament narrative. Part of chapter 19 tells us of a Jewish sect that denied the final resurrection, which has yet to take place. Well, Jesus was challenged by a group of these. They posed another question designed to trip up the Messiah. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Resurrection Factor.
The Resurrection Factor. It's so important. And there's a subtitle to this. I couldn't resist. Change you can believe in. Why? Because God's doing it. Listen, we are unique people. We are Christians. We believe in resurrection. The Bible teaches resurrection. Jesus was resurrected from the dead. He was not resuscitated. Jesus was not reincarnated. Jesus was resurrected. In fact, in that matter, the scripture makes it clear that he's the first fruits of the dead. What does that mean, first fruits? Because other people had died in history past. In fact, before Jesus went to the cross, remember Lazarus died and he was risen from the dead. Jesus raised others from the dead. But why does it say that Jesus was the first fruits from among the dead? What does that mean? Because Jesus Christ, according to the very construction of the Greek language of the Bible, that Jesus himself was the first one to ever been risen from the dead, never to die again. Because here's the downside to Lazarus being raised from the dead. He had to die again. Jesus being the first fruits. Oh, and by the way, not only is he the first fruits from the dead, but Jesus Christ rose again on that Sunday in April 32 AD. He rose on the celebration of the Jewish festival of first fruits. How cool is that? Because Jesus Christ is your guarantee that you too will enjoy and experience resurrection in that day coming. You say, Jack, you know, what is that to me now? Oh, it's everything to you now. We're going to look at that today. We're going to lay some groundwork and then we'll get into the study. So keep this in mind. Resurrection is something that in life, though people may not use the word resurrection, I personally have never experienced a culture that does not want or lean toward the hope of resurrection. You can go anywhere in the world today, and they may not use the word resurrection, but people want to know, is there life after death? Can there be life when death has come? Or maybe you've been there at the gravesite of someone. As a pastor, I do funerals, and I have to be honest with you, that funerals, though they're exciting to give the gospel, they're a great platform to preach Christ, there's a deep sense that there's something wrong that is just taking place regarding the death of this person. You say, what do you mean wrong? Aren't we all supposed to die? Yeah, but God didn't make it that way in the beginning. That's why death kind of freaks us out. It'd almost be like an eagle going around town with roller skates. That ain't supposed to happen. He's supposed to use his wings and get above all the stuff. God created you and I, number one, in the image of God. He didn't do that regarding angels, and he didn't do that regarding animals. You and I are the only ones created in the image of God, human beings. Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth as a human, not an angel and not an animal. Resurrection is an amazing thing because it not only qualifies the statements of God in reality, but also this, it gives us that hope down deep inside that every one of us, even if you're an atheist today, down deep inside, you want that dead loved one to somehow either come back from the grave, or maybe this is a bad dream. You know that feeling? Did this really happen? You wake up the next day, there's a pit, a hole in your stomach. I can't believe she's dead, or I can't believe he's dead. Why do you think like that? Because death is an interruption that the Bible says came to our lives, came into our world because of sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says in that moment, death came in. Imagine that. So keep that thought in your mind. We long for resurrection, all wrapped up in questions like, is there life after death? Where is that deceased person now? Are they somehow conscious somewhere? You say, Jack, I don't know if people think like that or not. Oh, yeah, they do. Because we hear things like this. And I know people mean well. But we hear things like this. Well, now at least they're at peace. What does that mean? Well, you know what? Now they're just one of those stars. It's taken their place among the stars. That's sweet, but what in the world are you talking about? Well, you know, it's just really great where they're at now. Okay, why do we talk like that? People who don't even believe in God talk like that. Why? Because down deep inside there is a soul-searching quest for comfort and peace. Well, before Jesus, the Sadducees come along. Now, remember, this is Jesus' last week on earth. He's being grilled by all of his opponents. The Pharisees have been attacking Jesus, but now a smaller group of men, but twice as powerful, the Sadducees, they were extremely politically connected to Rome, and they were very wealthy men. Small in number, powerful in influence. By the way, they did not believe in resurrection. Now, you need to remember that, because they're going to ask a really silly question. Why is it silly? Because they don't believe in the question they're asking. How dumb is that? They're going to ask Jesus a question to get an answer from Jesus, and they don't even believe in the question that they're asking. That's insane. They don't believe in spirits. They don't believe in angels. So these guys come along, and they're going to lay out this question before Jesus. Look at your Bible, Luke chapter 20, verse 27. Then some of the Sadducees. Oh, by the way, I'll add, they only believe in the first five books of the Bible, the book of Moses. Who deny that there's a resurrection came to ask him, Jesus, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a man's brother dies having a wife and he dies without kids, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring to his brother. Now, there were seven brothers, and the first took a wife and died without children, verse 30, and the second one took her as wife, and he died without kids. Then the third one took her in like manner, then the seven also, and they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, remember, they don't believe in it. Little sneaky guys. Whose wife does she become? For all seven had her as wife. Jesus answered and said to them, the sons of this age, the sons of this time zone, this world you're in now, this temporal age, marry and are given in marriage. But those who are counted worthy to attain that age, the future age to come, eternity, and the resurrection from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. Nor can they die anymore, for they are equal to the angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. Listen to this. Verse 37, if Jesus had a slingshot, he's using it. And he pulls back and hits these dudes right between the eyes. I'd love to have seen this. Verse 37, but even Moses, how many books? What do they believe in? First five books of the Bible, Moses. So what does Jesus do? He uses the Bible. It's awesome. Isn't that amazing? The Bible is standing in front of them. The Word of God using the Bible. I think it's fantastic. Even Moses showed in the burning bush passage that the dead are raised when he called the Lord, quote, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. For he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. Then some of the scribes answered and said, Teacher, you've spoken well. But after that, they dared not ask him anymore. Oh, this is kind of cool, because look at verse 39. The scribes, they're part of the Pharisee clan. They believe in the resurrection. You hear what they're doing? The scribes are going, oh man, look at the Sadducees, bunch of bums. We disagree with those guys radically, but boy, they got the money. and they got the power. Let's see what they asked Jesus. Yes, concerning the resurrection, all the Pharisees and the scribes are kind of chuckling. These clowns don't believe in it. Just like he busted us last week, watch him bust these guys now this week. And they ask this ridiculous question. Seven guys. Now look, it's based upon Deuteronomy chapter 25. Maybe you've got that in your margins. Write it down. Deuteronomy chapter 25, Moses wrote that, and this is what God told Moses. Concerning your Jewish brethren of Israel, if a man gets married and he dies before propagating on his DNA, his life, his children, the tribe, the family, the name, then in that case, if he has a brother, let the brother marry the widowed sister-in-law and raise up children for his name so that your dead brother's name will continue. That's important if you're Jewish and the continuation of the tribe matters. It doesn't apply to us today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So then they ask this question. Well, the first guy married her, he died. The second guy, he died. Third guy, and he died. Fourth guy died. Five, six, seven, died. What a question. These guys, I would have liked to have been Jesus at that moment and said, excuse me. It's obvious. Someone needs to check her cooking before they marry her. They marry her, they die. What is with this? It's a ridiculous story. It probably didn't even really happen. They're making it up, and they don't believe it. Even if it was true, they don't believe in the question they're asking. What are they trying to do? They're trying to pit Jesus against Moses. They're trying to mock, make fun of the resurrection. A lot of people make fun of resurrection today, not because they don't want it, because they won't believe it. Because every heart longs for the hope to be resurrected. Is life over at the grave? I think today you should at least be challenged to think, maybe not. Number one, friends, jot it down in your note-taking. The resurrection factor, change you can believe in? Yep. Number one, understand this. What is the resurrection anyway? What is it? What is the resurrection? First thing is this. It's the final act of redemption. You say, what? It's true. Resurrection is the final act of redemption. You all know from reading the Bible that, first of all, God announced in the Word of God that Jesus Christ would come. The announcement. Number two, what would Jesus Christ achieve when he came? Well, he would fulfill the law and the prophets. He would be absolutely perfect and sinless. And listen, he would go to the cross and die at the cross. We all understand that. We rejoice in that. Second, he would be resurrected from the dead. When Jesus Christ himself rose from the dead, what did that do? It guaranteed your salvation, redemption forever. It's one thing that he died. That's fantastic. But listen, if he would have died never to have been risen again, we'd be talking about the most wonderful love story for your soul, and it would be over because he's still in the tomb. You get me? I need somebody to say, yeah. Okay? But on Sunday morning, the tomb was found empty. Why? He rose again from the dead to put into power all that he had purchased. Jesus is not only the one who, in his New Testament, writes up the will, he empowers it by his death and then rises from the dead to enforce what he had just done. He's awesome. He does it all. He is, he's it. And so, amen. And so this is what happens. Now that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and you and I are trusting in him, he is seated at the right hand of God the Father, where there, the Bible says, he makes intercession for us. Do you know what that means? You have no idea what that means. I have no idea what that means other than this. That between Jesus, who is our high priest now, says the Bible, he speaks to his Father and he says, Father, this is what I'd like to have done in Jack's life. Father, this is what I'd like to have done in Susie's life. And Jesus represents your life, your case, your cause before the Father. The Bible calls him in the book of Romans our advocate. That's a legal term. Jesus is our legal representation before the bench, the bar of God. And how cool it is. Jesus shows up and you're wondering, what can this guy do for me? He's got sandals on and a robe. What can he do for me? Oh, a lot. Because when Jesus approaches the bench, the Father leans over and says, hi, son. What's on your mind? Jack. Susie. It's awesome. The last final act of redemption is this in your life. Resurrection. Look, have you been born again? The Bible says that you can't go to heaven without being born again. Here's the deal. You have been made alive in the Spirit. Your mind is different now. You think different. People who've never experienced the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives to rejuvenate them, to regenerate them, they don't know what that's like. What do you mean you think different? I can tell you, we can tell you, that after accepting Christ, within a matter of hours, what you once held to, your mind changes. I don't think that anymore. I was once this way, and now I'm that way. God does it. You don't do it on your own. God does it. Not only does that happen, but now there's a deep-seated peace regarding death. None of us want to sign up for pain, right? None of us. I don't know about you, but I avoid pain at all costs. I got up this morning. I got up, and first thing I did was, before I ate anything, I ate some Aleve. Right now, that works really good for my lower back pain. Why have lower back pain? Because I'm over 50. Why? What's the big deal? I'm longing every day for resurrection. But listen, death for the believer is not some horrific thing. The truth is, we just want to get through it, get it over with. Why? Because it's what's on the other side. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. What an awesome thing. The unbeliever can't say that. Oh, they walk through a valley of the shadow of death, all right, but they get to the other end and they fall down a hole. You and I go through the other end of that moment, and maybe we're dying for a minute, maybe we're dying for hours. That's God's business. But in that moment, by the way, is a holy, incredible transition where God begins to take what belongs to him. And our spirit, the Bible says, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And then you and I have got to clean up the mess afterwards. After you die and you go be with Jesus, you leave behind this carcass that we've got to deal with, put makeup on it, and then and put a new suit on. You never had a new suit, but now you got a new suit that you're dead. And everyone's saying all this nice stuff about you. It's kind of fun. I'm kind of crazy, you know? But here's the deal. What are we doing? We are talking to, we're looking at, look at him. Doesn't he look peaceful? He's dead. The man is dead. That body's not going anywhere. Uncle Mike, who are you talking to? That's for us to talk. They can't hear you. Why? The real them is gone. They're not there anymore. Trust me, they didn't cease to exist. They're in eternity now. The body is like a turtle shell without the turtle in it. It's a turtle shell. No one says, look, a turtle. No, it's a shell. It's a turtle shell. You don't say, Uncle Bob. No. That's Uncle Bob's carcass. That's his shell, right? Because he is with the Lord. We pray that he accepted the Lord before he turned into a shell. But the final act of resurrection is redemption. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold for your aimless conduct, received by the traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus purchased for you and I redemption by his blood. It's amazing and it is awesome. In Acts chapter 4, verse 33, the Bible says, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. The gospel is preaching resurrection. That's good news to normal thinking people. Why should I believe in Jesus? Because, my friend, he'll resurrect you from the dead. Now, most of us believe and trust and pray, Lord, come back. We'll talk later about that. I'm speaking of the rapture. I don't want to die. I don't want to go into the ground. Well, listen. If the Lord comes today, then we will experience what believers for 2,000 years have been longing for. And I hope he does come today. That'd be fantastic. Are you ready? Yeah. I'm ready. So how do you get ready? Trust Christ. He could come today. But if he doesn't come today, oh my goodness, if he doesn't come today, did you hear about that lady? I don't have her name. But you know that Air France flight that crashed into the ocean? Or they don't know what happened to that thing, right? You know what I'm talking about? She was supposed to be on the flight. She missed the flight. From Sao Paulo, Brazil to Paris, everyone perished on the flight. on that Air France flight. Do you guys, no. Okay. She misses the flight. I missed the flight. In Brazil, the luckiest woman alive. She gets in her car and gets killed in a car crash. What is that? When your number's up, man, it's up. The Bible says all of us, all of our days are numbered by the Lord. Did you know that? He knows the exact day you're going to go. So, man, I'm going to work out so I can live longer. Ain't going to do it. Sounded like Bush. Ain't going to do it. Not going to do it. It's not going to do anything. Well, I'm just going to sit around and eat burgers until I die. Not going to do anything. You'll just feel miserable or feel better until you get to the day. When that day comes, God says, I know the day. You don't know the day. I know the day. And that day, he just pulls the plug on you. You can be, hey, man, how you doing? Plug is pulled. Are you ready to meet God in eternity? Jesus came that you and I would be ready to meet him in eternity. And that's something that we better prepare for now. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto every person once to die, and then comes the judgment. You see, that's terrifying. Of course it's terrifying. But read the fine print. The Bible says for those who accept Christ, they pass from judgment to life. That's the good thing. Can you imagine? You're dying, you're dead, you appear before the Lord, and the Lord says, next. You want me to just move on? Just move on. Get in. Come on in. But what about, don't say anything. Just keep moving. You pass from judgment to life if you know Christ. Another thing about what is resurrection is that it's the ultimate victory. It's not only the final act of redemption for the believer because our bodies will be raised from the dead, but listen, it's the ultimate victory over the grave. Be honest with yourself. You want to beat the grave. You want to beat death. In Acts 17:30, the Bible says, truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commends all men everywhere to repent. Change the way you think. That's what that word means, metanoia. Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance to this, to all, by raising him from the dead. And when they heard the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we'll hear you again on this matter. And the word mocked there in the book of Acts is amazing. They heard about the good news that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. And listen, an honest person will say, wow, what an incredible announcement. We can beat the grave through Jesus. Some people mocked. And here's the reason why I pulled this verse out for you. The word mock in Greek means to stick out the lip. They went. They mocked. It's ridiculous.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called The Resurrection Factor. It's a look at one of the times the Messiah was challenged by his detractors and how he demonstrated his divine wisdom. We find this in Luke chapter 20 and verses 27 through 40. It's part of our teacher's verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter journey through this eyewitness narrative. We'll continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, if you haven't visited the new realradioactive.org lately, pay us a visit. In fact, click the tab Radio Reaction and see how Real Radio is affecting the lives of other listeners, realradioactive.org. And then, of course, if you've got something to share with us in that department, you can tell us right then and there. realradioactive.org, then click the tab Radio Reaction. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can also be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.